We are Brightside.
Home Theater Nerds, welcome to the Bright Side Home Theater Podcast, the Home Theater Podcast that's all about the experiences, the sights,
the sounds,
the scenes.
Ah, it's like they're sitting right here with me. We're back at it. Another month has gone by this year, 2024. Wow. It's flying by, believe it for me. It's flying by. And we're here we are back at listener comments for the Takeover Tuesday. I am recording this Monday afternoon, ran home from the house in between work and housework, and wanted to get this recorded. If it comes out too short, I apologize. I don't know because I got to get back. I got stuff going on, obviously. So. But we got a bunch of great comments this month. Hopefully I get to them all. And but I did want to lead off with, man, hashtag Brightside. Bunch of comments from you guys about, and I don't want to name anybody or anything like that. I appreciate all the comments, but it cracks me up when I get comments about, so since my announcement of me wanting the SVS speakers and getting the SVS pinnacles across the front and then doing the pinnacles and the, you know, now being able to do towers in the rear, and they will be pinnacles in the rear. And the amount of comments like, you don't need that. You don't need this. It's like, you could just do bookshelves. It's a nice idea, but you really don't need it. And it's, this falls under that, like, unsolicited type of thing. It's like, I even say every time I say it, I know I don't need it. I want this, and I want it because it was my dream in the 80s. And here I am. I get to complete my dream, and I get comments. You don't need it. No kidding. You don't need it, Captain Obvious. For all of you people. It's so funny because actually, if you're listening to this show or somebody tells you this is what I said, right? Maybe you're not even listening to the show, but I know you, like, I know people, you guys talk to other people that don't listen to the show and they'll say, DJ said this or whatever, right? And DJ says, yeah, you don't need it. You don't need anything in this hobby. This entire hobby is a luxury. If you want to get down to it, and I've studied a lot of, it fascinates me, like nature, what you need. All you need, water. And food. A permanent roof over your head? That's a luxury. You don't need it. You don't need it at all. Look at all the animals out there. Do they have permanent homes? It's like a bear goes into a cave in the middle of the winter. But I learned that from Yogi Bear. They hibernate, but they don't have a permanent one. They probably don't even use the same cave. Same with like animals, deer. They'll dig a hole and then they'll move on. And you're going to tell me I don't need giant speakers? No kidding. And anybody that would like to debate me on this, by all means, email me at dj@brightsidehometheater.com. Come on the show. We will debate it because that is fun. Yeah, it's so great. So great. Everyone I get, I start cracking up. Like, I know. So, all right. Let's get to, thank all my Patreon supporters. Patreon, I mean, you're keeping me driving, you're keeping me going. If you want to support the show monetarily, you can support the show monetarily. You just go to patreon.com/brightsidehometheater. You can sign up for a monthly donation, as little as a dollar and as much as you'd like. And thank you to everybody that has already signed up. You can also go to the website, brightsidehometheater.com, and there's links for little boxes of popcorn, and you can buy small box, medium box, and it's all defined there. And that's basically through PayPal, and you'd be donating to the show. All proceeds go into the show. They all go into the show, and we do donate. I haven't done it this year. I haven't had a lot of time to concentrate on that stuff, but everything that comes in goes back out into the show in one form or another. And, we are donating, the 24-hour podcast this year. Definitely that's the majority of that. We'll start raising for that in big time starting in the fall. We do that in the beginning of November, and that will be dedicated to Movember this year. But yes, we will get back in. I love doing the charities last year, and I'll do it again this year. We'll probably end up donating more this year than we did last year. And, cause it's tax season and all that. It's like, I showed all my donations to my accountant, and well over 2000. It was like almost $4,000 we gave last year through the show. So that was really, really cool. And I'm hoping to beat that. Even though we're getting a late start at it, we're definitely going to beat that this year. Just off of Movember alone, I think I'm getting things lined up so that we can just start donating and really crank that number up for Movember and, Ryan Davey and his, efforts that he's been doing for like 15 years for Movember. And that's Ryan Davey of hashtag Dork Podcast. So. Yes, all donations are appreciated. The other way you could support the show is just tell people about us. Tell people about the show. And if you're looking for a conversation starter, go to tpublic.com/brightsidehometheater, or even better, just go to brightsidehometheater.com and click on merch and get yourself a t-shirt, a sweatshirt, something like that. And then you can just walk around and wait for somebody to go ahead, ask me about my theater. Pull the pin. There you go. There's a few choices there, and I'll be adding some more when I get more time. I was actually going to add music to this show too. As I was driving home, I was like, I got an idea, and I'm like, oh, that would be fun. And I'm like, oh, I don't have time to do that. And, but anyways, let's get to the, emails this week. First off, we'll start with Paul B out of New Bedford. He says, starting this, knew you would appreciate it. And he sent me a picture of the book, forward by Chuck Lorre, The Big Bang Theory, the definitive inside story of the epic hit series by Jessica Radloff. I'd never even heard of that, but definitely something I would be interested in reading when this project is done and I can kick back with my feet up and take a little time to actually read and relax. But definitely would, I want to get back into reading for sure. I love to read. I'm like halfway through. Oh, what was the last book I read? It was like over a year ago. I'm like halfway through, Ready Player Two, the second book, to the sequel to that. So, and I was really enjoying that, but to sit down and read, you can't read and drive, can't read and work, can't read and watch a movie. You can't read and do a lot of things. You have to sit down and do it. So, and that's, I need time to do that, and I will. I can't wait. I keep saying when this project's done, I'm going to be like, what am I going to do? I'm like, all I got to do is work and podcast and watch home theater. I'm going to have all this extra time, and I'm definitely going to be reading, and adding more to the show. I can't wait. So, all right. We have, next emails from Hello Van Gool here with a question. I try to listen live each week to hear what movies you guys talk about and need to watch. Talking about Rebel Moon and Roadhouse made me think of a question. Ever do a Takeover Tuesday or talk to Steve and John about a movie that make you see it different or like it more the second time you watch it? Absolutely. So many times. Off the top of my head, my favorite one is, Invisible Man. And, that was even before Steve was on the show. And I watched it. I thought my wife and I watched it, and I thought the home theater experience was really good. It is. It's got crazy bass in it. The newest Invisible Man, that is. And, but I didn't really like the movie. I thought it was kind of silly. I was like, this doesn't make sense. And, I was looking at it through like, the lens of guy goggles. Like, I'm an idiot. I'm a guy. So I'm thinking of it practically. Like, come on. This is how you solve that. Boom, 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 boom. This is what you do. And then, Steve straightened me out, and he told me, he goes, no, this movie's about women and being battered and the situations that they're in, and through their perspective and their lens, you look at it and go, this is how they're, and he has experience with this stuff. And looking at it through that lens, the whole movie takes a whole other meaning to me. And now it's one of my favorite movies. Absolutely. There's so much deep meaning in that movie. So there's one example. Another example would be, and this is a little bit less deep, Shazam. Saw that in the theater. Wasn't crazy about it. First viewing, I wasn't crazy about it. And I'm like, that's me. It's got to be me. So I went back before John and I were doing Brightside Chat at the time. And we were recording, I believe, on Wednesdays at the time. And I saw Shazam opening night. And then like the following Monday, I wanted to see it again on and see if I had changed my mind or anything like that. And I watched it and I was like, really, really enjoyed it. And I was like, I was just in a bad mood. And went, not like I wasn't angry when I went into the theater, but I just wasn't receptive to like the fun that Shazam provided. And so, yeah. And I've said that to people too, like when they see a movie that they didn't like and be like, were you in a bad mood? Were you this, that? And, you know, because sometimes that can be it. And it's, you know, you're just not receptive. Like if you're trying to, especially, and this is a conversation that we've had, John and I, and then when Steve came on the show, we had this conversation too. And it's like, if people tell you, you have to watch something, it can be tough because now it's like, I gotta do this. So like, that's why I try not to tell people what I'm going to be watching next week, because I honestly don't know. I started doing that early on. I'm like, next week I'm going to do this. And I was like, And now it's like, if you don't get it in time or you're not in the mood to watch it, it's just so much better. Think about the reasons you sit down to watch the things you sit down to watch. It's usually not because somebody told you to do it. Maybe somebody recommended something like we do on the show. We'll be like, oh man, I recommend this home theater experience, but I'm not going to tell you you have to. Just like when somebody recommends a new series on Netflix or Amazon or Apple TV Plus, you'd be like, I think you would like this. And you're like, all right, cool. But it's not like homework for the next week, right? So I find myself like, I'll be watching a movie and be like, oh my God, I haven't seen that character or that actor, like a Kevin Bacon. I'm like, I haven't seen that in forever. I haven't seen Quicksilver. Next thing you know, I want to watch Quicksilver. I'm dying to see Quicksilver. Why do I want to see Quicksilver? I don't know. Let's go see Quicksilver. Oh, wait, but I told everybody I was going to watch Lord of the Rings. Uh-oh. It's like, now I can't do what I wanted to do. So yeah, there's many, many reasons why we watch movies, and there's many reasons why they maybe aren't so good the first time. Never mind the delivery system, right, Steve? So yeah, second viewings, I recommend, especially if you didn't like it. So, cause I don't have to recommend if you really liked it. That's easy. You're going to want to see it again anyways. All right, this comes from Francis Moko. He says, I know we love to talk about movies, the sights, the sounds, and the scenes, but my love for movies is more than that. It was a form of escape. I could lose myself in a movie, be anywhere, any place, anytime. Growing up in Ghana in West Africa, life was hard. I used movies as a form of coping. My happy place. I started with Bollywood and martial arts movies, and when I moved to the UK, I discovered home cinema, and the rest, as you say, is history. Have you discussed this part of home cinema? Yeah, Francis. I would say every week that's what I discuss in one form or another. It's like I've discussed it early on. This was definitely anytime I mentioned Star Wars. Same situation, Francis. I think a lot of us are like that. It's like the reasons, all the people I've talked to on like how they got into home theater, why they got into home theater. And it's because they're trying to replicate something, whether, you know, what an experience they had as a child, a great experience they had as a child, or it's like what is it that, like, why did you need that escape? And we, you know, there's various reasons. Like you said, you had it hard growing up in Ghana and West Africa, and everybody, you know, I think uses movies to escape from the trials and tribulations of life. And so it's different for everybody. And for me, with my brain, Like watching movies over and over is a form of escape for me, because now it's the one opportunity where I can just shut down and stop thinking. Hard to describe. And that's why I said I love this, you know, topic, because it's, you know, my brain turned me into, like, I have a fascination with studying psychology because I wanted to know why I was the way I was, why my head works the way it does. And one of the things I learned in child psychology, and I've said this on the show in reference to this exact topic, is when little babies watch the same thing over and over. And I remember when my kids were little, I'd put on like just something, like I'm saying little, I'm saying months, weeks old, putting them in front of a TV and just watching a red block bounce around the screen. And then it changes to an orange block, and then it changes to a red, blue triangle or something, right? And it's just slowly moving around the screen. And the baby just likes that. A mobile that you'd put over a crib. The patterns that those do, it's soothing to the baby, because when you see what the baby's like, imagine you go to school in the first day of college, you're 18 years old, you go to college, you've never been on this campus before. You don't know anything about it. You don't know, wait, how do I get to the lunchroom? How do I do this? How do I do that? All this information overload, and it's a very stressful day. And then you figure it out and things get simpler, because you're like, you develop your patterns and you do your thing. That day is every minute for a child. They've never been here before. They've never seen that before, that before, that before, that before, that before, that before. Everything is new information to an infant. When you put them down in front of the same thing every time, or you put them into bed and that you crank on that little mobile over their head and it just spins around, and they just go, oh, I know this. After like a week, they'll get the same. They know, okay, I know this. I don't have to learn anything. And it's soothing. When I heard that, when I learned that in school, I was like, that's why I love to watch Star Wars. That's why I love to watch the same shows over and scenes over and over again. Because it's me waiting for that red block to just go back and forth on the screen. That is soothing. Because outside of that, my head's going everywhere. My wife, she's actually a therapist, and she's like, we'll be having a conversation, and I'll be like, I gotta do this, blah, 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 and I'll interject in the conversation. She's like, how do you think of these things? I go, if I could put you in there, you'd probably be scared. So it's, but that's my example. Francis, your example is, you had it hard in Ghana, and it's, we all have an escape. And that's what I think is great about these theaters. And every single person, I would be willing to bet, every person listening has an example of why they're looking for that escape, and also why they're trying to duplicate that experience at home. You know, it's a happy thought, like, I want to do this again. So, and then we go through all the trouble to evolve in home theater. It's like, and that's part of it. It's like, oh, okay, I need the new thing. I need this. I need that. And we like to problem solve. So yes, great, great comment, Francis. I'll talk about that anytime. Anybody wants to come on and talk about all of their reasons, by all means, just email me. Those are great Takeover Tuesdays. And I've had many of them. So, all right. Next up, we have Tom. So this one says, hello, DJ and others. I've become a big fan of the Bright Side show. I think I first heard about you from the home theater guys, R and Braden. Not having enough hours in the day to listen to you, AV Rant, and the HT guys, I'm a little behind, but determined to keep on. I was listening to a Takeover Tuesday near the end of 2023, and you and your guest were having a discussion about the Stargate movie. And he had mentioned that he was watching the TV versions that were spun from the movie, and how that Amazon Prime has crummy 4x3 standard def of those great shows. I wanted to let you know that a free app called Pluto TV actually has these in 1080p widescreen, 2-channel audio, and they actually do look great. Okay, here's my question/experiment to ask of you. I've got the 65 inch 2018 calibrated, OLED. Recently, I was rewatching The Mandalorian season 3. I start with episode 5 of the Book of the Boba Fett, The Return of the Mandalorian, but experiment to ask of you guys is this. I've got an NVIDIA Shield 2019 that supports Dolby Vision. My wife and I recently moved and I was still unpacking things, so I was using the Disney Plus app built in on my LG OLED. In this Return of the Mandalorian episode, when the Mandalorian gets exposed for removing his helmet, he then leaves the lower levels and heads up to the upper deck to take a transport. There is a very brief scene at this upper deck where the aerial view of the structures, where half of the scene is in bright sunlight and half is in the shadows. It's a great HDR scene. I connected my Shield and have watched it via the Disney Plus app. Per one of your guests on the 24-hour episodes, I even connected my Roku Ultra in case that device might have something to add. My observation is this. The built-in Disney Plus app on the OLED actually appears visually sharper, more detailed than my Shield and the Roku Ultra. I know on my calibrated LG that there is a difference between the HDMI inputs versus the internal inputs apps. I've stepped through as many settings whilst viewing the internal app so as to match the best I can with the calibrated HDMI input. I asked my brother to see what he might see, and he too told me it looks slightly sharper on his 85-inch Sony X90 using the built-in Disney Plus versus the Shield. I'm very curious what your results might be. Again, love the show. Thanks a bunch, Tom. So I replied quickly to him and basically said, here's my quick analysis. It's simpler is always better, until it isn't. And I said I would expand on the show. And basically that is the truth. It's your system, our systems are only as strong as the weakest link. And every time you add a link, you're either trying to strengthen your system or you could be weakening your system. And we've all probably done this many times. You get a product and you try it out and it didn't work out the way you wanted it to or whatever. And you're like, oh, that I thought it was going to make my system better. I think what goes on a lot now because of the forums and, you see so many opinions out there that people start buying things to improve something that they don't even think they need to have improved. They don't even know if they should have improved. So meaning like you just think like, oh my God, I need that. I don't see a problem, but this guy in the forum is telling me that I might be having a problem. So I'm going to buy whatever product they're talking about right now to hope to solve a problem I don't even see that I have. Okay. So this is it's not what happened to Tom here, but if you don't see a problem and you get a better picture off of the app inside the TV, I'm not saying the Roku or the NVIDIA Shield can't duplicate that, but it gets more complicated because maybe there's some settings you're missing on the NVIDIA Shield, or maybe there's a pass-through you're missing on the whatever it is. I know people, I've heard people that love the NVIDIA Shield, love their Apple TVs, love their Rokus, love their Fire Sticks, and they have great experiences with them. Maybe it's a setting thing. I don't know. But if you are enjoying if you prefer the view that you're getting directly from the app, why would you connect anything else? I mean, I can see why you would try. Maybe to see if you can improve upon that. But if you can't, I go back to that. I've done this back when HD first came out. I was testing HD over satellite, HD over cable, trying to see which was better. And I would pay, like, if I had satellite and I saw updates every, you know, a couple of years, all of a sudden internet would have the local spectrum internet in this area would be like, oh, we got a better HD, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, all right. So I'd be like, here, try it out. Nope. Dish was better. I found a better, sharper picture. And so I stayed with that. But then there was a time when they had more channels, they got better picture. I went back to Charter. I went to Spectrum Internet, right? And got my cable through them, and I got rid of Dish. That was a very short period of time. But the less links, the better. The one caveat to that to me is I prefer to use an external box because I feel like if the external box needs an update or gets an update or something like that, or the TVs don't get an update, sometimes you can actually, the TV should be sticking around longer, but maybe the updates, the apps in them aren't as current as the TV ages. And then eventually you do end up going with a box. I kind of like to have each piece to be separate, but that's me. But as the listeners, if simpler is better, always simpler is better. I'm learning that the hard way right now. Always simpler is better. And if you're enjoying it, don't even look back. Don't even look back. Just be like, oh, this is better. Boom. End of story. And you're enjoying it. And when you have time, if you want to test it in a year from now and try NVIDIA Shield, or maybe somebody you read somewhere that, oh, it's these settings. Oh, okay. But yeah. So great, great question. All right. Steve At, in this episode of Home Improvements, DJ and Brett, this is emailed right after Brett and I chatted all about home improvement. He said, talking about garage floors, my wife did this several years ago while I was away on a business trip. And he shows me, I have a picture of his garage, and he has the nice tiled floors, gray with red, red outline for each parking spot. And it's really, really nice. Buddy of mine did the same thing, kind of a garage floor. And it does. When you put those tiles in, they're plastic, almost like sport court type tiles, but they got holes in them like waffles. So like the water drains underneath, so it stays safer for, you know, dries faster on top. And it just looks so much more finished, so much nicer. So, really, really nice. Thanks, Steve. Now I'm jealous. I got to get that now. All right, let's see. Next up, this one comes from Ian. He said, hey, DJ, here's an app for your Apple TV you might be interested in. It's called Infuse. It's the closest thing to Kaleidoscape that runs on the Apple TV. It gives all the good looks, reads ISOs and BDMV and all those kinds of things. No need to read this on the show, but if you do play with it and find it neat, like to hear what you think. Here's a few screenshots. And yeah, it's really cool. The screenshots, looks similar to what you get with Zepedi, with their and with Plex, to be honest. But it's firecore.com/infuse is the link. I'll try to include that in the show notes. I haven't had a chance to play with it. I have very little time at home. But I did want to read it for anybody else that would be interested in that, because, it does look pretty cool for people that want to try something else, another option out there for, an app for their physical media. This one did it. Let's see. Oh, and this is, G. Cornell. At what age did you leave your local cinema and say, I want this at home? A room with a projector, big screen, and appropriate speakers to get the movie experience at home. For me, it was the day I came home from seeing The Empire Strikes Back. Years later, emptied out my large den and transformed it into a dedicated HT music room. Yeah, pretty much the same. Probably that, or like I knew I wanted to try. It had to be early 80s because same idea, because I didn't really, I turned 10 in 80. And just the idea of even having a home theater probably wasn't even a feasible thought to me. But it was definitely in the early 80s when you start getting HBO home box office and you want to watch these on a bigger screen. So I would read various magazines and like, oh my God, now there's actually conversations about, oh, home theaters. And back then it was like to get a projector was insane. Like hundreds of thousands of dollars for the CRT projectors, to have that kind of system. And you know, and I did have friends that they had the luxury item of a 55-inch 4x3 projection, front projection television in their living rooms, which if you saw that, if you walked in somebody's house with that today, you'd be like, wow, that is not a space saver. Takes up a lot of space, but that's, you know, that's a home theater enthusiast in the 80s right there. But yes, it was just gears turning, just how can I get this? And it wasn't until I, you know, really graduated high school and was working multiple jobs, so I had a little more disposable income and just started tinkering around with what I could, much like I do today. So, probably around the same time, actually. So, let's see. This is another one from Steve at. He said, found the Pinnacle boxes. So his prime, Pinnacles. He says, found Pinnacle boxes. We'll file a brief with the finance committee later this year. I'm not committing myself to upgrades, but worth exploring. Would really like to hear them myself. Hard to find anyone carrying SVS other than the subs. We'll certainly be watching reviews as they emerge. Based on dimensions, I'm likely waiting for the towers to show up in May anyways. I have to think SVS is going to be overwhelmed with upgrade requests. Probably, but that's a good thing. You know, that's always a good thing. So good for them. And, good for you, Steve, for saving your boxes. It's going to make upgrading cheaper. So as we explained last week. So for anybody that didn't hear last week's show, it's in SVS's, customer bill of rights that you can. They do have an upgrade policy. So if you have previous SVS speakers, so like say you have the SVS Ultra Center Channel and SVS Ultra Bookshelves, and you still have the boxes, you can, even if you don't have the boxes, they will do an upgrade policy. They will give you credit towards the new speakers of your choice. And the price that they give you, the credit they give you is based on the condition that they're in. They're going to ask you to take a bunch of pictures and stuff of your equipment and of your speakers. And then also the boxes. And if you don't have the boxes, they'll ship you the boxes, but that's going to cut into the cost that they can save you. And at which point it might be a push. You might be better off just getting your own boxes, selling them online and taking the money, you know, you'll probably make more money that way. But if you do have the boxes, you can definitely do it right through SVS and, they'll walk you through everything. So yeah, that would be really cool. All right. Here we come. We're coming to the last one, but this is a long one because it starts at, this is from John. This not John Ciccone, another John, John M, but he's changing his name, and that's in the email. And it starts with, strap yourself in, fella. Here we go again. So yes, this is going to be a long one. When did this come in? It came in yesterday. I haven't even had a chance to read this one yet. I just saw it, and I was like, here we go again. Strap in, and I'm looking forward to it, much as you, the listener, is too. So strap yourself in, fella. Here we go again. You read my letter a while back where, amongst other things, I spoke about my favorite top five sounds in movies and the joys of rediscovering my love of home theater. However, if it's all right with you, DJ, from now on, I wish to be known as Captain AC3. Okay. You're in. The name perhaps reflects my years of enjoying movies and comics. And speaking of which, why am I putting metaphorical pen to metaphorical paper? Well, it's to once again give thanks at the altar of DJ. Thanks. Because I have you to thank for the latest upgrade in my home cinema. I am older than you, than your good self, and up to now had never considered getting glasses. Oh boy, here we go. As I was too vain to wear them. Oh, come on. Come on, Captain AC3. Then when you framed, pun intended, the getting of glasses as an upgrade to watching home theater, it made the step more acceptable. And oh lordy, what a difference it is. To quote a movie song, it's, quote, a whole new world, and I'm not going to sing it. Now even my DVDs look 4K. Okay, not really, but you get the point. Which brings me to the question section of this email. Question one, is there a better home demo scene than the reaction of Kong in the movie Skull Island when his home is bombed? I actually like the moment, which I missed the first few times of watching, when the soldier shouts, quote, run to the side, you idiot, as Kong chases them. It's something I've always thought to do if I was being chased by Godzilla or a bunch of Martians in spaceships. It's true. It's true. It's like you got to run sideways, kind of like when a bear is chasing you. You run downhill and then cut sideways because they can't stop as fast. Question two. As an animal lover, I found it extremely difficult to get past the opening scene of Guardians of the Galaxy 3, where Rocket is taken from his home. In a later scene, something similar happens while he's playing with his new friends. I had to turn off my 4K copy, and that was months ago. As an animal lover yourself, how did you get past this? I know it's overreacting, but I find those scenes impossible to sit through. Any thoughts? Should I go back to see the rest, or is there worse to come? No, I'll get back to this one. Let me read them all, and I'll come back to them. So question three, about a year ago, I asked the pod bros, did I need my 7 full-range speakers? You all agreed no, but also went on to say it would be the dream. This week, while talking to Shane, I thought you were thinking of going full range all around your new theater, or did I hear you wrong? I do still have the speakers, though they're now set to small. Oh, we'll get to that, which I think I opened the show with. Question four, and finally, thank goodness, says you. Yeah, no, that's not true. OLEDs have inky blacks, correct? But didn't Chris Deering on your pod say, you don't see inky blacks in real life, so why do we need them on our displays? I'll get to that. Okay, enough for now, he says. I'll leave you with two suggestions, if I may. With regard to viewing, have you ever watched Rocky back-to-back with Rocky Balboa? For me, it's a powerful emotional punch, yes, pun intended, again, as you jump from the young to the not-so-young Rocky and the wonderful evolution of the film score by Bill Condell in its quieter piano moments. With regard to listening, may I recommend the podcast called I Was There Too? It has people involved in movies with stories to tell, mainly because it has an episode with Tom Arnold talking about the awesome True Lies. As a huge fan of the movie, it doesn't disappoint. Thanks for finding time to read this. I've bought a few homes in my life and built an extension, but never a whole new home. Fair play, fella. From the Midlands of Ireland, to quote Stan Lee, the mind boggles, as indeed it should. Captain AC3, over and out. So thanks, Captain AC3. You will forever forward be called Captain AC3. You're going to have to say that because I don't know if I'm going to remember every time I see John's email. But you can certainly sign yourself Captain AC3. You've earned it. So let's get to some of these questions. Congratulations on the glasses. It's absolutely a great upgrade. And especially if you've gone this long in your life, like myself, and you're like, oh, I didn't know what I was missing. And yeah, I could see why DVDs will look 4K, because you're like, wow, that is good. But you're also going to see more grain. Now you can see when you're watching, like, you know, standard def. Not even standard def. You're watching 480i. It's definitely worth it. Question one, is there a home city? Yeah, I commented on that. It's hard to say, is there a better one than anything? Because subjective. But yes, that is a great scene. And I love the idea. You know, I love watching scenes over and over, like Captain AC3 did here, and you're like, I'd never heard that before. And you get to hear something new. Question two, as an animal lover, talking about Guardians of the Galaxy 3, definitely worth getting through. I am an animal lover. Saw that movie in the theater. My daughter was sitting next to me, bawling her eyes out. When we saw that one, she had to leave halfway through because of work. And she asked me pretty much the same question. Should I go back to it? And I said, absolutely. Because there is a payoff. And it's the emotional roller coaster of being the animal lover. And I'm the same way. I would rather see people shot and tortured than animals. Just because I can separate myself from that. I feel bad for animals because they don't know what's going on. John Wick, the first John Wick, I have to skip that scene. It's like, I saw it. I've seen it many times and I'm just like, I can't do it. Nope. I'll skip that scene. I know it's there. I'll just go boop, skip right over it. Not even fast forward. I don't even want to see a slow-mo or fast forward through it. I just skip to the next chapter and I pick it up from there. And I get the motivation. But yes, I think you should go back and see the rest. It is an emotional roller coaster. You did mention later on, watching Rocky and Rocky Balboa, the emotional part of that. Well, that's part of being an animal lover too. So enjoy the ride. Make sure you're in the mood for it. But yeah, absolutely. It's a great movie. That's one of my favorite movies now. Because of that, because of the animal and roller coaster ride. Much like, was it Snow Dogs with Paul Walker and the Huskies? And oh my God. Yeah, that's an emotional roller coaster as well, watching those Huskies and watching them fight for each other all by themselves. So, but anyways, question three. About a year ago, I asked the Pod Bros, did I need my 7 full range speakers? And we all agree. And he says, you all agreed no, but also went on to say it would be the dream. And here we are today. You're like, yes, it is the dream. And that is my dream. And that is what I am going to be working towards, is getting those, not just any towers. I'm going for the Pinnacle towers from the new SVS Evolution Pinnacle towers, 5 of them around the room. Probably won't be able to get all 5 at once. I'll save up and get the 3 in the front. And then maybe, and work my way around the room. But yes, I am going to be doing that. And it is the dream. It's not needed. Absolutely not needed. But it is a dream. And it has emotional meaning to me as well. So like I said before, it's like, it's where I came from. It reminds me of being a kid. And I want to remember that. I want to remember my roots. Maybe when I'm older, I'll still have these speakers and I'll be like, why do I have these giant speakers? Oh, grandpa, you're senile. You wanted those when you were a kid, so you bought them when you were in your 50s. Oh, okay. Thanks for the explanation. and like a squirrel, like, oh, wow, look, like a goldfish. It's all new to me, but I'll be 80 years old, so it'll be fun. Something to talk about. And then question 4, OLEDs have inky blacks, correct? But didn't Chris Deering on your pod say you don't see inky blacks in real life? So why do we need them on our displays? I don't know if that was Chris. I've discussed it a few times. I did discuss it with Chris. I say that, and I don't want to put, without going back and listening to that show, I don't want to put words in Chris's mouth. He may have agreed with me, but that's how I look at it. It's like, walk around in real life and inky blacks are not there. And, but here's the thing. And this is why if you prefer that and you want that, inky blacks, what they give you is the ability to have a wider, like a better detail in the shadows. Just because your display can do inky blacks, it doesn't mean it has to do them. From the artist's intent, take the Batman, for instance, there's not a single inky black on that screen anywhere on any display. Unless if you're watching it on an OLED, your black bars you're in a blacked out room. You'll notice the black bars at the top and the bottom on the Batman are inky black, but then the image in the CinemaScope, in the 240:1 ratio, there are no inky blacks in there. it's very, they bring that down. So it gives you the ability to have it if you need it. And here's why sometimes you would want it. And there are people that do prefer it. It gives you the ability to create a better contrast. So if you can do an inky black, that's going to allow your brights to appear brighter, because by contrast, you're going to be like, oh, wow. It's like, wow, look at how bright that star is in the star field at the opening of Star Wars, because you can do an inky black around it. And if I could show you in real life, I don't really want to diagram it out even on a YouTube channel, but when you're trying to duplicate something in the art world, and we were taught, and I say we, John and I, because we both went to art school, you're taught to see things differently, and you'll cheat you do these cheats to create the illusion of something being bright. Okay, so say I was drawing, I'm looking at my spotlights here in this room, right? If I'm going to draw that spotlight, and it has a black backdrop to it, when I go to recreate that and make it look as lifelike as possible, you have the bright white, okay? But that bright white is only as bright as the piece of paper you're dealing with. Just like everything on your screen is only as bright as the screen itself when it's all on, right? So if you put a white image up on your screen, that's it. That's maxed out. That's as bright as it's going to get. What makes it seem brighter on that screen? You're not amplifying up the bulb. Okay. You're just a white screen. This is what it's going to be. And now everything around it is going to, if you put all this black on the screen and you put a spotlight there, what it's doing is now your irises are closing and that bright light feels brighter because your irises are not closing, opening more because there's less light. And then you put this little light flashed into the middle of the screen, it's going to feel like a searchlight looking at you. But if you just change that, if all of a sudden, watch, there are people that have done these test patterns and stuff, and they'll go, this is the same. This is the same brightness. And they just put like the black with the spotlight and then all white screen. Well, when it's an all white screen, your irises close. So now it doesn't feel as bright and you have nothing to compare it to. Okay, now go to a piece of paper. That's easier for people to understand because there's no power behind it. It's just a piece of paper. It could never be any brighter than that piece of paper. But I can give you that illusion by what I do on that piece of paper. Obviously, you start with, let's go to the same scenario, that spotlight in the middle of the paper. Make the whole page black and put a spotlight in the middle. That's going to look brighter by contrast. But then there are other tricks you can do to make it look even brighter. You change the amount of brightness within the bulb itself, within the light. Okay. So it starts bright at the middle, comes out and it dims a little bit. You shade as you get to the edge of that circle of that spotlight. And then at the very edge, you have nice and bright. Okay. But then at the very edge of that, right on the edge of that, you have very black, black as black can be. And then you create your little halo from there. So now you would have a ring around that with a little bit of a halo around it. And then from there, the rest of the screen, the rest of the page wouldn't be black. Now that would be like a very, it would just be off black, like a little, like a touch of white. If you're using paint, you do like a touch of white, like a very dark, 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 dark charcoal. And by creating that, those rings around it, it creates the illusion of a bloom, which creates with the illusion of power. All of this, and the only thing on this page is that deep inky black right around, like, and I'm talking like, if you're looking at an 8x10 piece of paper, it's like not even a 32nd of an inch, or it's like a 32nd of an inch ring around it of deep inky black. And you do these things, and this is what we were taught in school, is like to look, and like when you see something, there is a halo around stuff. And this is in real life, not on a screen, not on a page or anything like that. When you see something bright, there's a dark halo around it because of the way our eyes bring this stuff in. why you want your OLED to be able to do that is because now it's going to be able to create that perfectly for you. It's going to give you that black ring around the edge and then create that HD, use the HDR to create that charcoal background and give you that illusion of depth in inside of something that is inherently 2D. So there's many reasons for doing all of this stuff. And that's just on black to white. Now, this is where you get your vibrancy of colors and stuff and everything like that. It's like, it's all based on that black and that white. So like, if you're looking at the sun in a blue sky, there's going to be slightly darker blue around the sun before you get to the light blue sky around it. All of that stuff goes on when you're drawing and doing it, or when you're cinematography, when you're dealing with the how this is going to play out on a screen, on a display. There's so many variables and so many things that the artist can do on their side, and you just want to, if you want to have as many tools to replicate what the artist intended. That's what I go for. But at the same time, I don't need the inky blacks in my theater. I don't need to do dead on, dead black like an OLED. I prefer the image that a projector provides, even like a JVC. It's not as inky black as, say, an OLED. It's slightly better than a Sony, but I say slightly because Sony has really good inky blacks. And when it is run correctly, one of the advantages the JVCs have is they do have onboard tone mapping that is better than the Sony's. And that tone mapping does everything I just described about the ring around it. And that's what enables your inky blacks to look so good on a JVC. Now on a Sony, one of the things I noticed when I added my video processor, the Lumigen, my black levels got better. I wasn't shocked by that, because of what I know and how you can manipulate stuff like this. But your black levels will get better because now it's controlling the light. It's giving you it's tone mapping the crap out of it. So it's giving you exactly what the artist intended to the best of the display's capability. So there's many, many reasons. And now that's why I say in real life, to get to question four again, get back to it, I don't think you really need the inky blacks. If you prefer that look, and I have many listeners that do, and I have quite a few listeners that don't. So if you prefer that look, that's great. But if you don't have it, it's not the end of the world, because in real life, you don't drive around, look around, walk around, look around. Look at anything that is actually inky black. And the only time you'll see real inky black is in the all absence of all light. Because as soon as you put a light on anywhere, everything gets hit with it. So now you don't have the inky black. So I think you can, in a projector situation, you can get away with a very, very realistic image close to OLED, not as deep, but damn close to OLED. So, that is why. So, and it's up to you, and neither way is right or wrong, but having an understanding of what is actually going on with the display or with the artist or anything like that, I think it can be helpful for stuff like that. So, but yeah, so great, great email, Captain AC3. Bring it. I strapped myself in. Enjoyed it. And look at that, almost an hour. I don't know how long I sat here stalled before I started talking. So I don't know. It's going to be under an hour. But anyways, everybody, thank you very much. Thank you for listening, supporting the email. I love the emails. Please, by all means, keep emailing me and tell me I don't need something. I know that. And I love it. It cracks me up. So by all means, tell me that, cause I don't need pretty much anything. It's, what do I want and what do I like? That's a different story. And I think it's a different story for everybody. What I do need though, is I need to sit down with Steve and John. Hopefully John's coming back soon, but I need to sit down with Steve soon. Cheer me up, get my head back into some home theater. I am into home theater. It's every time I gotta, I've got so many things going in the house, but I have to keep stepping away from working on the theater because I gotta get the house done too. But, lots going on, lots coming up later with me and Steve, Steve and I, sorry, my wife will kill me if you heard me say it that way. Steve and I later today, I don't have, I have one home theater experience, but I did save a couple from last week, but I do have some home updates, some home theater updates, some podcast studio updates, all sorts of fun stuff later on. And, but as always, if you would like to be on the show, if you'd like to come on and debate me, or you want to just talk home theater, I am literally getting texts right now about next week's show. I think you guys are going to like it. You know what? He's pretty reliable. I talk to him all the time. Rob from AV Rant and I will be on next week's show. We're going to be recording it on a Wednesday. So 2 days from now or tomorrow, by the time you're hearing this, we're going to record and we're just going to be chatting. He just texted me right now. He goes, all right, any topic I should prep for? Nope. Because when Rob and I get going, I got to get back to my house. So I know it won't be too long, but Rob and I can talk for hours and hours. Rob, Brett, myself, most of you, we could just talk for hours and hours. So really looking forward to that, catching up with Rob. Hopefully you guys will be entertained by that next week as well. But later today, live, 5 p.m. Eastern time, as always, Steve and I, doing the live show, our home theater experiences of the week, patreon.com/brightsideofhometheater to support the show, brightsideofhometheater.com to buy boxes of popcorn through PayPal, and or just tell people about us. Just tell people about us. Their eyes might roll. That's what we do. But until next time, what do you gotta do?
Go push play. What he said.
Yeah, it is right.
Hey Fred.
This has been a Hey Fred production with theme music by Jeff Bernhardt and Throne Vault Productions.